Welcome back, everybody. It's time to grab your board, swim out into the ocean, and try and catch one of those sales pipelines going by here. With your host, the original playboy of the pipeline world.
Oh my goodness.
Matt Hines. Little tribute.
Boy, is that not appropriate for today as we mourn the loss of Hugh Hefner? Yeah, no, I appreciate that. But how you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good. I don't know if I've just heard rumors of your Playboy days here, but you know.
The rumors. We'll leave that to another show.
The early days of Sales Pipeline. Yes,
right. The early days. Hey, we're enjoying what might be our last day of summer up here in Seattle. It is 83 degrees today and beautiful, beautiful skies. Expecting to get into fall weather this weekend. But that's what happens. It's the end of September. It's the end of Q3. We are coming into the stretch run of 2017, believe it or not. It's hard to believe. Hopefully that hasn't caught too many people flat-footed. But thanks for joining us. Taking a few minutes with us on Sales Pipeline Radio today. I know that it is busy at the end of the month, end of the quarter, but appreciate you taking some time to join us. We are on every Thursday at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. You can catch us live on the Lead Management Radio Network. You can also catch us every episode on iTunes and Google Play, and every episode, current, past, and present, available on demand at salespipelineradio.com. We feature some of the best and brightest minds in B2B sales and marketing, learning what's working today to build more predictable pipelines. And joining us today, very excited to have Adam Schoenfeld, who's the CEO and co-founder of SiftRock, and we'll be talking a little more about what SiftRock can do to manage your email, to manage your database, to keep your data up to date. But thanks so much, Adam, for joining us today.
Hey, Matt. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And I mean, there's so many different topics we could cover here, right? I mean, we could talk about database hygiene. We could talk about sales and marketing alignment. But maybe just first is give people a sense of SiftRock. We are a customer of SiftRock. I think we're about as sticky user as you can get. It's one of those things that I just don't ever want to give up now because it saves us so much time and keeps our data clean. Talk just real quick about what SiftRock can do.
Yeah, and appreciate having you as a customer, and your team's been great giving feedback along the way. So yeah, very, very happy to have you guys on that list. The basic idea of what we do is pretty simple. You know, when you send emails, marketing emails or prospecting emails on the sales side, you know, you get a lot of replies back, auto replies, bounce backs, out of office messages, and of course, real people sometimes raising their hand or asking questions. Typically, what we found is that marketers and marketing ops folks handle that manually. So we built some machine learning that can suck all those replies, figure out what they are, and then help you take action. You know, whether it's cleaning up your database when somebody's left the company, that's really kind of a classic example. You get that no longer with company response, or surfacing a new lead for the sales team when you get a referral, or correctly routing a human response so that you can take action. So all those things that we do by, you know, basically more intelligently managing the reply emails that come back to your marketing campaigns.
And this is Paul again. I'm going to ask your guest to back off the microphone a little bit there. He's overloading it and it's shorting out on us here.
We're just so excited, Paul.
I know.
Like, that was a really good explanation. Like, whenever I see out of office replies in the past, you know, you think about just the manual effort it takes to do something about that, to have that automatically update your database. I mean, you got lead routing opportunities, you've got, you know, buying signal alerts, but to be able to update that in real time is so, so important. I mean, let's talk a little bit about that relative to database hygiene, right? I mean, you know, people are moving around all the time. You know, we've heard that, you know, B2B database can deteriorate at a rate of, you know, 3 to 5% per month, not even per year or per quarter. So, you know, to have some of that auto updated for you is significant, not just for the efficiency of your list, but for, you know, keeping yourself off of spam blacklists and more, right?
Absolutely. I think deliverability is a big thing. And then, you know, making sure you're getting to the right person with the right phone number and the right email address as all that stuff's changing around. So it turns out those email replies, you know, have a lot of information that can help with that. And, you know, like I said, a lot of companies are doing this manually. So what we did is built some technology that can help automate it and integrate into the major marketing platforms like Marketo, HubSpot, Eloqua, et cetera. Yeah, so there's a lot of fun and interesting data there, and it helps. I won't claim that it's the whole solution to keeping a clean and updated database, but it can be a big piece of that sort of broader initiative that, you know, that I think everybody's thinking about right now.
Yeah, and I know, you know, with the just general email engagement, I mean, you see good, you see bad, you see ugly. I mean, you see all sides of this. You know, what's interesting to me about out-of-office replies is we tend to, I think, as professionals, we tend to delete them. Like, we see them and we might look for an interesting message, but we don't do anything with them. And an out-of-office message may not tell you, hey, here's someone that needs to buy. But there are so many buying signals that are inherent. Give a couple of some of your favorite examples of some of the good, I guess, that makes those replies such a great opportunity to engage with your prospects.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, one great example is, you know, you might have somebody who's been in your database for a long time, and maybe they haven't responded to anything, and you know, then you get a referral contact in there that has some rich information, maybe a title and a phone number, and you know, some of the time those can be routed directly to the sales team where they can reach out and engage somebody there. So, you know, if you're picking that information up, I think that's a really good use case, especially for, you know, B2B companies with a sales team, which I think is just about all of us. And then, you know, knowing when somebody's moved on is so huge, because it effectively is a couple opportunities, right? You have the person who moved on, so you can reach out to them at their new job. Maybe they were an advocate for you, or they're very engaged. And, you know, a lot of times when people are in new jobs, they're very inclined to look at vendors. So you get the opportunity with the person who left, and then you potentially get the opportunity with their replacement. So I think those, you know, getting those little nuggets can really help your sales team. And then, yeah, the last example, which we see more and more now with ABM and with email being more personalized, if you're sending emails, you know, like, why not ask people to respond? And, you know, when they do respond, have a way to route those into the sales team and, you know, be able to take action and continue the conversation.
Well, and part of what makes this so invaluable is that this is timely information, right? You know, someone attends a webinar, they're not necessarily waiting for a response. You know, someone sees you at a trade show, you know, everyone's trying to respond to them at once. You get that information out of office. That's something that's happening right now. You know, so there's very often, so, you know, not only sort of trigger events and buyers to respond to, but things you could do so right now. Do you find that this, I mean, this is not people filling out a form. Has it been a challenge to get people to value this as a lead source? What has that been an obstacle, or do you find that people sort of really sort of see and value and take advantage of this opportunity?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd say, you know, people see it first as a way to keep their database healthy and clean and enriched, you know, with the phone numbers and the signatures and the sort of the updates that we can find, or invalidating a bad record. I mean, those things just can be so problematic and such a pain to do manually, right? When you think about people changing jobs or emails becoming invalid or companies getting acquired. So I'd say, you know, that's probably like 70% of our value. And then, you know, the sort of the incremental new leads, you certainly treat these different than a form fill, right? It's a little warmer than a you know, than just a list you purchase from Zoom Info, but it's not somebody filling out a form or you know, coming inbound and raising their hand. So you have to treat them, you know, a little bit differently, but certainly value there, because you're there within your target accounts, you know, if you're already engaging the company. So I think in the context of ABM, we see a lot of people thinking, hey, well, this just gives me kind of a better way to surround my target account and have more contacts there.
Talking today on Sales Pipeline Radio with Adam Schoenfeld. He's the CEO and co-founder of SiftRock. Definitely encourage you to check them out at siftrock.com. And, you know, as the CEO of an early stage startup, you are not swimming in cash. You don't have an unlimited budget. So clearly you're trying to grow your business and do it the most efficient way possible. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the marketing that you've been doing day to day at SiftRock, and even some of the stuff you did in the early days of Simply Measured, where you were CEO before. But the first thing I want to cover actually is LinkedIn content marketing. I mean, I feel like I see you daily now on LinkedIn for some of the sort of updates and questions and insights that you're posting. Has that been a proactive strategy? Talk a little bit about what you're doing on LinkedIn and how it's working.
Yeah, I know you're doing it a lot as well, Matt. The core idea is, when you looked at the LinkedIn feed 6 months ago, you pretty much just saw a bunch of people sharing links. Right? Like, here's an article, here's a blog post, here's something happening in the news. And I think now what's happening is people are starting to share more original thoughts and start conversations there. I think it's become a really great platform in terms of kind of medium form text. Kind of updates stand out in the feed and get a lot of attention and a lot of engagement. And quite frankly, the conversations are super valuable. Like, if you put ideas out there, you will get responses. And I started to notice that. I've just been pretty much 3-4 days a week just putting stuff out that comes to my mind. I pretty much do it on the bus every morning when I'm coming into work. And I found that it's generated a lot of inbound leads for us. It's also helped just kind of get people aware of our brand, you know, through me and Katie, who runs sales here, does it a bit too. So just found it's a great channel in terms of B2B, and there's such a great audience that's active there.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I mean, from a little bit of dabbling we've done ourselves on this, you know, what it appears that as you continue to do more of those mini updates on LinkedIn, you start to show up more with the people that are engaged with you. And so there's something about the LinkedIn algorithm that says if you have engaged with or liked or read someone's stuff in the past, it will forward that, it will promote that content more actively for you. So people in your network that are engaged tend to see you a little more often. So it's almost as if LinkedIn is scoring engagement and increasing prominence on your behalf. And, you know, as you said, like you're doing it on the bus. I mean, you still have to have interesting things to say. So I think, like, you know, your content has been good. Charlie Lang and Brandon down at Engageo, I think there are a couple other good examples of people to follow on LinkedIn that are putting up good content there. But, you know, that's certainly, you know, I think a huge opportunity for a lot of, you know, marketers and businesses in general, not just content marketers. But as you grow, as you're now growing SiftRock, like, what are some of the other things you're seeing working on a tactical marketing level that's helping you build your pipeline?
Yeah, it's been super interesting because I founded another company called Simply Measured, seven plus years ago, 2010. And, you know, it was interesting, the things we did to generate demand there were so different than the things we're doing now at SiftRock. I mean, the markets are very different, but just perhaps a sign of the times. I mean, when I look back on Simply Measured, everything we were doing was inbound. We were very press driven. We did a lot of like cool graphs and charts and infographics that we would put out and get pickup and inbound links. And we had that motion going. At SiftRock, we haven't found that that's there for us. We haven't found that anybody's Googling for what we do. They're talking about it in the Marketo forums, but there's no search volume. So we've had to figure out outbound a little bit, and then we've had to figure out paid in terms of paid social. And then we've had to be very, very focused on word of mouth. I mean, I'd say, you know, kind of telling our customers' stories and sort of asking our customers to tell their stories about SiftRock is probably our biggest channel right now.
Now, you were at Simply Measured from the earlier days. I can't remember if you were there when it was still called Untitled Startup, but I know you've been there from basically the beginning. And then when you left to go to SiftRock, I mean, it's a big company, a lot of people, very different role as a CEO. So same title, different size company. This may be an obvious question, but I'm curious to hear how you answer it. And I think we'll have to, it looks like we may have to do this after the break, but to think about it, what is CEO, you know, being CEO at Simply Measured versus being going back to the startup role? Curious what that's like from someone in your role, also from a sort of a marketing and sales orientation. We are going to have to take a quick break before we get to that. We're going to have a lot more with Adam Schoenfeld, who's the CEO, co-founder of SiftRock. After we take a break, pay some bills. I'll write back. Sales Pipeline Radio.
In a world where the speed of innovation and change in B2B marketing has never been greater, the only thing bigger is the need for clarity, for a blueprint, for a guide to what's really working and how to apply it specifically to increase sales pipeline growth, velocity, and conversion. That's what you'll find in the Modern Marketer's Field Guide. Download it free at HeinzMarketing.com. Struggling to align your sales and marketing teams? Maybe you're attempting to implement an ABM strategy in your organization, or your content is underperforming. Whatever the challenge, Heinz Marketing has some great on-demand workshops to help. All of them are fully online and on-demand, so you can access the content whenever you want. You will also receive an interactive workbook, the presentation slides, and templates, all for $195. Visit www.heinzmarketing.com/workshops. That's HEINZ marketing.com, and get started now.
And after you do that, come on back, because Matt Heinz is here with his guest.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everyone, again, for joining us on Sales Pipeline Radio. If you like this conversation, if you want to hear it again, you want to share it with your teams, we'll have it on demand at salespipelineradio.com in just a couple of days. Would certainly encourage a subscription at the iTunes Store and Google Play so you don't miss a future episode. Speaking of future episodes, coming up in October, we've got Guy Weismantle. He's the EVP of marketing at Marchex. We're going to be talking about more about demand gen, more about marketing to small businesses. A week after that, we've got Rand Fishkin. He is the founder of Moz. Some of you may know of him as the Wizard of Moz and as the creator of Whiteboard Fridays. He is one of the most influential and one of the most knowledgeable people on SEO. So excited to have him and lots of other great guests on the sales and marketing front coming up on Sales Pipeline Radio. But we've also got today Adam Schoenfeld. He's the CEO and co-founder of SiftRock. And before the break, that break came up on us quickly there, Adam, but I wanted to talk a little bit about your role as CEO. And I think that, no matter what size your business, I mean, you're always thinking about sales and marketing. But what's it been like getting back into a very early stage and really sort of, rolling up your sleeves and sort of getting in the mud again on the sales and marketing side?
I love it, Matt. I mean, it's what gets me excited. I love being tactical and creative. I like writing the copy and moving the pixels around, doing the little things. It's exactly how it was in terms of the role in the early days at Simply Measured, Untitled Startup, as we were called then, too, right? You just have to make it happen when you're a small team, sort of sub 10 people. Over at Simply Measured, we did scale and the organization got north of 100. So the job changed a bunch, right? Managing through others, sort of hiring an executive team. The role changed a lot, and I wanted to get back to the early stage. I was lucky to have a great co-founder here who started this company, Chris Hundley, who is amazing in terms of the technology, machine learning, great entrepreneur. And so I think I have the best job in the world because I get to go market and sort of help position what we're doing. And I love just the day-to-day, like being sort of engaged with customers and sort of building the assets. And that's what gets me excited.
So when you're a team, when your entire company, is single digits, when you can literally fit around a dinner table, managing a single customer pipeline, like managing sales and marketing together is a little easier. I imagine that got more difficult as Simply Measured grew. What are some of the lessons that you've drawn from that experience that you're bringing now to SiftRock as you now build a sales and marketing organization from scratch again to ensure that those groups are operating from a same single strategy and playbook to hit the number?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely gets harder as you get more complexity and sort of more division of the roles. When you just have kind of one marketer and one salesperson, maybe an SDR in there, it's easy to get everybody around the table and just align on what you're trying to do. One of the biggest lessons I learned is the need to throw out the playbook, especially when you're small and just getting started. I think you almost have to look at every quote best practice and just try to flip it on its head. That's what I've tried to do here. That's a lot of what I think we were successful in and Simply Measured in the early days. And putting the customer first and their buying experience and just trying to think from their perspective and, consider every detail along that path. So we spend a lot of time like on our thank you page, and we try to be really thoughtful about how we offer calendar time to people when they come inbound. One of the things we did is we compressed our discovery and demo. And I know that's a huge no-no and everybody says don't do it, but it's worked extremely well for us. And I think customers have appreciated it. So trying to just kind of flip the script on anything we can, because we know we can't compete in terms of dollars and headcount.
You talked about playbook, and I think that playbook can be a really dangerous thing if you go after and look at what other people have done and what's worked for them. The only playbook that really matters is your playbook. And you almost by definition have to build it from scratch, build it based on what works for your business, your culture, your customers, their environment, their industry. I mean, you mentioned that you're doing discovery and demo together. Yeah, there may be many companies that say no, because it doesn't work there. That doesn't mean it won't work for you. So talk a little bit about the role that culture plays in that. I mean, whether it's just sales and marketing working together or just, you clearly have a culture just from what I've, seen and experienced. I mean, you've got a culture of execution. You've got a culture of, not paying attention of, perfect is the enemy of good. How does that play out as you grow, and how do you ensure that you are hiring and reinforcing the culture that you want to be able to achieve that alignment that clearly you're focused on?
Yeah, gosh, such a hard question, Matt. We need like a whole nother show for this, don't we? And I know it's something you think about, and I've interacted with your team, and it's clear that they sort of live and breathe a lot of the values that you have, and you see it sort of in the emails and the ways that they speak and all of it. But I think for us, it's just always trying to put the customer first. I mean, it sounds cliche, honestly, but it's true. We just always say, hey, like we want to make our month, but would getting pushy here and asking the person to sign today, I'm saying using this example because it is the 28th, is that the best thing for the customer? Or is there another step in their evaluation that we need to accommodate and we shouldn't try to jump the gun? And I think sort of putting yourself second and thinking about the customer and their long-term success, that's got to be number one. And at least for Chris and I, that's how we think. And I think that's what will build advocates, and advocates will give us more customers. At the end of the day, I think that's what really matters.
So I agree with you. And it's really easy to say that sitting here on a radio show, but you and I are both going to get off this show. We're going to have to go hit our number for the month still. Right. And so, you know, between the end of the day today and tomorrow, that's the end of September. You know, the reality hits that you still got deals you want to get done. But I think your point about the fact that, okay, no matter what happens, we have to wake up Monday morning and still work with these people. They're either going to be customers, and we're both going to be happy that they're customers, and they're going to be happy with their deal, and you're going to be happy with it. Or they're still going to be a prospect that you probably still want to have as a customer, even if it's in October instead of September. So I think rationalizing the and sort of finding that balance between that customer centricity and staying true to your culture while still hitting your numbers. I mean, I think a lot of people struggle with that. That's a really, really hard one. You know, we got just a couple more minutes here with Adam Schoenfeld. He's the co-founder and the CEO of Siftrog. Adam, I'm going to ask you the question that we ask every guest now on Sales Pipeline Radio towards the end. If there was a Mount Rushmore of sales, and I think for you, I would expand this to sales, marketing, startup world, entrepreneurism. Just think about the people in your career that have had the most influence, that if you were sculpting out the Mount Rushmore of sales, et cetera, for yourself, who would be on that mountain? Who are some people that have influenced you? Other people may want to pay attention to as well.
Oh, man, that's such a good question. I'll give you a couple of CEOs that have influenced me, either sort of from afar or more directly. Dave Hirsch, who is CEO of Jive and who is an investor in Simply Measured, has influenced me a lot. While we haven't interacted a ton, you know, maybe once a year we sit down in person, everyone in our interaction has just been so impactful. I'm a huge fan of Gainsight right now. I think they're like the gold standard in B2B marketing, and Nick Mehta there is incredible. I'd put him on the Mount Rushmore. And I'm going to give a shout out to my co-founder, Chris Hundley, because he built this company on his own and actually closed business as a technology-centric guy. And I think that's just an incredible feat to build a sustaining business and build a product all at once on your own. So I got to put him up there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I met Chris for the first time a few years ago, and I think he was just starting. I don't know if he was called Siftrog. I don't know what it was called, but definitely a good guy. I mean, you know, and it can be rare to find someone who has the product and technical expertise to build something, but then can also, you know, sell it, create customer value, as well as understand when it's important to bring in smart business minds that continue to scale the business and find the right people for the right seats on the bus. Well, I really want to thank our guest today, Adam Schoenfeld. He's the co-founder and the CEO at Siftrog. Definitely encourage you to check them out at siftrog.com. Heinz Marketing is a very happy customer of Siftrog. One of many reasons we wanted to have Adam on the show, but also to talk about what clearly was a wide-ranging discussion on database hygiene, email and lead engagement, a little sales and marketing alignment, a little startup marketing. I heard someone last week describe to me startup marketing and startup management as chewing the glass. And I'm sure that we could have a whole nother conversation with Adam about chewing the glass as a small business and a growing business. Well, make sure if you want to hear this conversation again, share it with some of your colleagues and peers. Check it out on demand at salespipelineradio.com. We will have a highlights post of this conversation on HeinzMarketing.com on our blog. Make sure you continue to tune in every Thursday, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. We'll be back next week and every week with new episodes featuring the best and brightest minds in sales and marketing and B2B. For my awesome producer, Paul, this is Matt Heinz. Thanks so much again for joining us on Sales Pipeline Radio.
You've been listening to Sales Pipeline Radio, brought to you by the fine folks at Matt Heinz Marketing, right here in the Funnel Radio channel for at-work listeners like you.